I want to continue this morning a series that we started last week called Where Your Treasure Is. Where Your Treasure Is. Where your treasure is, the Bible said, there your heart will be also. Whatever you value, whatever valuable to you, that's where your heart's going to be. And so when it comes to our finances, that is one of those areas in our life where we have to make sure that our values are set properly, that we do this the way God wants us to do this. And so I'm going to be honest with you. Today, I'm just going to go through some scriptures and give us, me and you, all of us, some advice from scripture on how we are to handle things in our life, financially handle things in our life, some money management from the Bible. What does the Bible tell us to do? Now, the Bible is not going to tell you, you know, here's the percentage. Don't go over this percentage of debt in your monthly budget. It's not going to tell you that. But it gives us some very pointed advice on how to handle our money. We've said this many times around here. There's two ways God blesses us, two things we need to be a part of so that God can bless us. One is stewardship, taking care of what God blesses us with. I can't be mad if I get fired from my job if I wasn't doing my job. Amen? All right. There you go. So that's a stewardship thing. God gives me a job. I got to be a good steward of that. God helps me get a car. I've got to be a good steward of that. God gives me finances. I've got to be a good steward of that. And a steward is just somebody who takes care of something. It's just somebody who makes sure that it's being used to the fullest and not being wasted. And then the other one is tithing. We talked about tithing last Sunday. So you got these two together. You got stewardship and you've got tithing. Now, being a good steward requires us to have some self-discipline. I hate this term. Because I like to indulge in too much ice cream. Come on. Is anybody with me? I mean, a bowl of ice cream. Listen, a butter pecan ice cream at 10 o'clock at night is the best thing in the world. But I have to choose. I've got to choose which way I want my life to go, all right? Which way is more important? And so everything about our life is this. We have to make choices. And the Bible tells us that we have to make those decisions. It's self-discipline. Now, look, the Holy Spirit helps us with that. The Bible teaches us that, too. He helps us with these decisions. He helps us to do these things the right way. So he's telling us in stewardship, everything belongs to him, but we have to take care of it. And so when we're looking at our finances, we have choices to make. You ever get a new job and you got a good raise and you're looking at your paycheck and you're thinking, I'm rich. I'm just never going to need any more money. This is going to be the thing. Or you come into a larger check at some point and you're, you know, income tax time and you get a big refund and you're like, all right, we're going to buy mom a house and we're going to do it, right? No. And then 3 weeks later, you're like, where did we spend that money? I don't know what happened to that. And I thought we, you know, it felt so good for a few days and now it's gone. That's bad stewardship. All right. Can we just all agree we've done that one before? All right. So here's the things that God teaches us. I'm going to go through these kind of quickly. There's more from the Bible, but I'm going to hit eight things. All right. So if you're going to take notes, you're going to have to take notes fast today. Number one is put God first. I am not being a good steward if I don't put him first. It all belongs to him anyway. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Now, can we hang on right there for a second? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. He's assuming in this scripture, in Proverbs, that we are producers. If I'm not a producer, I'm not going to be a good steward. He's asking me to do my part. If I'm not producing something in my life, whether that be going to work and being faithful or running my own business, if I'm not producing, then I can't do the rest of this. I can't honor the Lord with my wealth if I'm not producing something. Verse 10, then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. He said, okay, if you will honor the Lord first, if that's what you do. Now, last week we talked about that. That's tithing. That's saying I'm going to give this to God. I'm going to give God his part of this. I'm going to honor him first. And then it says he will bless you with look what he says. He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Now that's not the same thing as I remember many years ago there was something we now call prosperity doctrine in the American church, right? And it went like this. If you will send us $2,000, I remember this plea actually. It was the end of 1999. And it was on Christian TV. And they said, if you'll send us $2,000 by the year 2000, which meant you're going to have to get busy because you only had a few months. If you will send us $2,000 by the year 2000, God's going to erase your debt. And I was like, that's amazing. I think that's a good deal for most of us. $2,000 and here's the problem. It didn't happen because that was not a promise God made in his word. He never once said, all right, you can cash in here and I'll cash out. No, that's not the way it works. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will produce the good wine. There's a lot going into this verse. There's farming and there's production and there is giving and there is stewardship and all of it working together. So he's not saying, if you just give, I'm just going to make you rich. Wouldn't that be cool? If we had that going on at our church, we would not have enough chairs around here. People be like, all right, that's the best investment scheme I have ever heard of. It's not that way. We sow in one season and we reap in another season. You sow in the spring, you reap in the fall. It's not a hand exchange where I'm giving God this and he's giving me a whole bunch more. It's God blesses us as we live for him, as we do this his way. So I got to put God first. All right, here's number two. Fall out of love with money. Whew. We got songs. I want money, lots and lots of money. I mean, we know what this is about. In America, we love some money. Look what he says in Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve them both. Now, you can serve God and have money, but you can't serve God and money. So there's some decisions to make. And the reason he doesn't say, if you do this and this and this and this and this and this, then you're serving God. And if you do this and this and this, then you're serving money. He doesn't want that because he wants our heart. He wants us to grapple with it a little bit. He wants us thinking about it a little bit. He wants us making the decision of if we are putting him first and if we love him or if we love money. Now, you know, you can tell pretty quick, though, by how you treat money. Is your relationship with money, does it get more attention than your relationship with God? All right. We just got to make sure we're doing that right. Here's number three. This is a difficult one. Number three, work hard. If I'm gonna manage money the way God wants me to, I gotta work hard. You know, not one place does it tell us in the Bible that you are supposed to live a life of comfort and ease. But we love it when it's going good, don't we? We have an idea, if I can ever get this paid off, then life is gonna be simple and good. If I can ever do that, then it's gonna be simple and good. And that's not the way God operates. It's not the way God operates. When we get comfortable with discomfort in our lives, that's when God can bless us and use us the most. Because we're not promised comfort here in this life. Look what he says, lazy people. I want you to know, this is God saying this. I didn't write this. Lazy people want much but get little, but those who work hard will prosper. You probably heard the old saying, the harder I work, the luckier I get. He wants us to work hard. He wants us to handle our business every day. Nobody owes me anything. God's telling me I need to work hard. Here's number four. Name every dollar. Name every dollar. Now, this is a different way of saying you got to budget your money. Proverbs 21:5 says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Now, can we just say hasty shortcuts? We could say a lack of a budget leads to poverty on the 25th of the month. Come on, y'all know you're... When we don't take care of our money, here's what happens. I've got some $1 bills up here. And so if I start off my month and I say, look, all right, that one's marked car payment, and that one's marked house payment or rent. This one is marked groceries. This is how much groceries we're going to buy. And here, I'm going to mark this one, eating out. Come on. Eating out will blow your budget all to pieces if you don't have it worked out ahead of time. I challenge you to go back and look at your bank today. Just open it up and count how much money you spent in September eating out. You're going to hate yourself, but it'll be a good experience for you. All right? Every dollar has to be named, because watch this. If I don't name them, somebody else will name them for me. Somebody on Marketplace will name my dollar. Look here what I got for you. Oh, look what I got. Look, I got a sale for new shoes. And somebody else will be happy to name my dollars. So living on a budget is probably one of the best stewardship moves we can make. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. I don't have time to budget. That's probably why I'm broke. If I can't budget, I'm probably going to be broke. Now, I want to give you a quick tool that'll help you with budgeting. Pull out your phone. Look at this next screen. All right. We are starting Financial Peace University right here at Grace Point on Tuesday nights. It's coming up very soon. You just get on there and you can get signed up. Now, it costs some money to do it, because here's what's true. If it doesn't cost you anything, it's not valuable to you. All right. The church doesn't make a penny on this, but it's got to cost something for it to be valuable. All right. So if you feel like Financial Peace is the place for you, get signed up. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Financial Peace. It'll help you learn to name your dollars and budget your money and plan for the future and get rid of debt and help you just have peace, financial peace, in your everyday life. Because most of us were taught other things. We were taught algebra, but we weren't taught budgeting. I don't know when's the last time you used algebra, but, you know, budgeting affected you this morning when you got in the car and you're like, now I got to stop and get gas. It affects everything we do. Name every dollar. It's painful to name every dollar. I'm going to be honest. Can I just be honest? I hate it. I just like to have a pocket full of money and go do what I want to do. So far in my life, I have not had a pocket full of money that I get to go and do what I want to do. If I budget, I do have money. If I don't, I'm broke. All right. So name every dollar. Good planning. Here's number five. Save. Now, I get it. I've said this one before. So the person in the room or online that is saying to me right now, I don't have any money to save. I get it. But if you don't save something, a dollar, $2, $5, $10, whatever. Then one day you wake up and go, wow, I have a new car, but I don't have any money saved. Because they loaned me the money on the car, but I didn't pay me first or second like God wants me to. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. All right, can we just stop there for a minute and just lick our wounds for a second? Look what he says. Fools spend whatever they get. I really don't have anything to say. Am I spending everything I get? The Bible calls me foolish. if I'm spending everything? There's a million reasons to save. The refrigerator's going to break down. The car's going to break down. You're going to have to buy diapers for the baby on a week that you don't have as much money. There's a million reasons to save. Retirement is a reason to save. And I know, when you're real young and you're like, that's decades away. But I'm going to tell you, as somebody who said that decades ago, it's coming faster than you think. And if you don't prepare for it now, you're going to have to save 20 times as much later. All right? So saving money. Save money for vacations. Then it's a guilt-free vacation. You're not taking money, rent money to go on vacation. You saved it. It feels so good. One day you might want to put a down payment on a house. And you saved it $10, $20, $30 at a time. Just put it back. Just put it back somewhere. Find a savings account and forget the password. And don't connect the transfer button between accounts. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all got all quiet this morning like nobody knows about this. The minute you connect it, now you can transfer money. Oh, I can cover that now. Put the money in savings and leave it in savings until it's time to spend it. Here's number six. Say no to unnecessary debt. Say no to unnecessary debt. Proverbs 22 and 7 says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. You know, it's time to quit complaining about those rich folks and just start taking care of our business. It's easy to point fingers. It's their fault. Look, just as the rich rule the poor, this has been going on forever. The rich people call the shots, right? That's what the Bible said is going to happen. So the borrower, the person who is out there borrowing money, is servant to the person who lends the money. You're serving them. They're sitting up there at home happy to cash your checks. They're getting that mailbox money. And we're out here trying to make payments. What if we said no to unnecessary debt? What if we said we're cutting up the credit cards? What if we said, I'm done. I'm done with credit cards. Forever. I'm tired of paying 22%. It is quiet around here today. You see, debt takes away our choices. When I'm in debt, I don't have any choices. A gentleman that I respect deeply, that was a mentor to me early on in my adult life, he once said, if you have so much debt that you can't obey God when he asks you to do something, you have too much debt. If you have to consider, oh, I got payments, too many payments before I can obey God, you got too many payments. Now listen, it's not a guilt thing. It's not saying, well, I'm a loser and I'm a failure. No. This is a starting point today, right now, to say I'm not going to be out of debt by the end of the day or by the end of the month or even the end of the year. This is going to take some time, but I'm moving in that direction. I'm not going to keep piling it on. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, when we do dumb things like we get a raise and then we're like, oh, now we can afford a better car payment. What are we doing to ourselves? Then now we are the servant to the lender for 5 or 6 or 7 more years when God just blessed us and now we put ourselves back in servitude. Say no to unnecessary debt. How many times do you walk in a store and the, you know, very nice, brilliant smile person says, would you like to save $20 today? And I just want to reach across the counter and just knock them out right there on the spot. Because this is not going to save me $20. This is going to cost me $2,000. I know what's going to happen. And I always try to answer like this. That'll probably get me in trouble. You just keep the credit card and I'll just pay the $20 extra today. Because what happens is for some reason, we think we can just do the same thing again and get a different result. It's not going to be different. It's not going to be different. It's going to be the same old thing. And some of us have been in the same old pattern for so long that we think this is the way life has to be. I want to encourage you, if you're caught in that pattern, get involved in financial peace. Get involved. Start approaching finances with some stewardship. It's much easier to get into debt than it is to get out of debt. It's so easy to get in debt. I mean, now to get in more debt, all you got to do is go, whoops. You don't even have to swipe it anymore. You just hold it there. Just hit your phone, right? Tick-tick. And it gives you a cute little sound. Ding. And it's really saying, sucker. You sucker. You fell for it. It's much easier to get into debt than it is to get out of debt. I've done this one. Listen, Jody and I could give a class. It took us some years to figure some stuff out. And God wants us to be free. Debt takes away our choices. It takes away our choices. If you don't get anything else, get that. Here's number 7. Be wise in your purchases. Be wise in your purchases. James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. I love that. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he'll give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. God, what should I do here? Should I buy this car or not? God will give you the wisdom you need. Now, you might need to talk to somebody, a godly person who's got a few more years on them than you. I'm talking about somebody with gray hair and experience. Can I just be honest with you? Somebody who's lived a life of bad decisions, right? Who's learned to make better decisions. Find somebody you respect and you love and ask them about it. I've told you this story before, but Jody and I thought this is many years ago. We thought we needed a car, and we went to the car dealer, and he found out the salesman found out that I was a pastor, which I try to keep under wraps except at church, because it just gets funky if I tell people outside that. I just like them to know I love Jesus. So anyway, so this guy finds out that I'm a pastor. And he realizes that I'm about to leave, and he does this. Can we just pray about this right now? My wife is my witness. I said, no, we're not praying about this right now. He said, why not? And I said, because you're going to be praying for one thing, and I'm going to be praying for another. All right? We don't have the same prayer right here, all right? There's got to be some wisdom in our purchases. Do I need the new car? Do I need it? That's an important question. The more important question is, can I afford it? How is this going to affect my life long term? What am I going to have to give up? Because for every dollar you spend over here, you give up one that you could have spent over there. You see, it's not just like I spent it. No, I gave up something. I made a choice over here to not have this thing over here. Every time... Oh, I'm going to get mean for a second. Every time I go out to eat, I'm making a choice about my future retirement. Come on, bologna is cheap at home. We know that, right? We can eat sandwiches at home a lot cheaper than we can eat anything going out, right? So we're making a choice here, and we're basing it on what feels good right now. Does it feel good in the moment? Financial peace, you're going to learn this. You live like nobody else is willing to live now, so you can live like nobody else can live later. You make choices now so that you'll have more choices later. You give up some things now. So be wise in your purchases. We have this thing that I don't know how it came about, but many years ago we started we call it the 3-day purchase rule. Any major purchase in our life, and a major purchase for us is a couple hundred dollars, right? Now, yours may be $2,000 or $5,000, whatever, that's fine. Ours is about $200. That turns into a major purchase. And so we say, we're going to think about it, and we're going to pray about it for 3 days. And here's what I noticed. The more we pray about the major purchases, the less often we make the major purchases. We need that car. We need, what Well, it's just $50 more a month than we're already paying, right? And the more we pray about it, the less often we buy it. It saved us from buying boats and houses and cars and all kinds of stuff over the years. We're like, just back up, because the emotion is gone from it. When I take the emotion out of it, then I can, then self-discipline can guide me. Then I can operate by the principles of self-discipline. But as long as I'm emotional about it, I can't have any self-discipline. So I just got to pull myself away from that decision a minute and say, Lord, what are you trying to do here? And learn some contentment. Learn some contentment. Learn some contentment. Driving an old car is not the worst thing. We have driven cars back in the day. I'm telling you, we got so many stories. We drove an 85 diesel 5-speed Maxima. It probably is the only one ever made. I've never even seen another one. I don't know how we ended up with, but this thing was like it would smoke. Just black smoke would pour out of it. It rattled. Every belt on it would squeak and squeal. And those toys that look like you press the right button and they just go poof and they just pop into a million pieces. That's what this car looked like. And we got pulled over for not having a sticker or something many years ago. And it was in the middle of summer. It's 1,000 degrees outside. And the car is smoking and it's rattling and doing all that it does. And the police officer's like, son, I need you to slow down and blah, 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 whatever he's saying. And about that time, the belt starts squealing. So it's smoking, it's rattling, and now, yik, 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 yik. And he can't even talk to me because it's so loud. And he said, I tell you what, I'm just going to give you a warning today. I was like, thank you, because I didn't have any money to pay that bill. So look, it's okay to drive squealing and smoking. Right? As long as you're moving in the right direction, trust God with it. All right, I've stayed there too long. Number 8, be generous. Be generous. If we can get some music, guys, be generous. Proverbs 11:25, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The generous will prosper. The generous will prosper. People who are just trying to hang on to it for themselves, that's not the person who prospers. The generous will prosper. I encourage you to find somebody to give some money to. I know somebody right here in our church that carries a $50 bill with them all the time. So if God tells them to give it to somebody, they just reach in their pocket and they pull them to the side and they go, here, God told me to give you this, $50. It's a generous person who just gives. There's something special about generosity. It says, I love Jesus more than I love this money. That my faith is not in this money. My faith is in him. Jesus was the example of generosity. And Jesus gave us everything. He gave us everything. Now look, this last two Sundays have been kind of heavy. It's tithing and stewardship. But here's what happens. When we first start handling our money God's way, it's a little bit painful. But like we've already said, we sow in one season and we reap in another season. You plant corn now, you get corn later. You plant wheat now, you get wheat later. God blesses that process. I recently heard that most millionaires made less than $100,000 a year their whole life. It wasn't the big deal where they made a bunch of money at one time. No, no, no. They just learned how to live on less than they make. The first time, I want somebody to get this, the first time you have money left at the end of the month, it's going to be the most satisfying thing you ever did. You're going to be like, wow, did something not get paid this month? What just happened? That feels good. Transfer that to the savings account. Get that over there. Let's hide that money. Let's name that money savings. I believe God wants to bless us. I believe God wants to help us with this. I don't believe that God's people should be walking walking around with less than they need. And I'm not talking about God making us rich. That's not what it says. It does not say that. But the Bible says this, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. The righteous man, the righteous woman has the blessings of God on them. And they can walk in peace, not in worry and fear all the time. And I'm going to tell you, not having enough money will make you walk in worry and fear like nothing else. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What am I going to do? Create stress. It causes problems with our health down the line. But when we learn, self-discipline is the way. And God is the one who blesses us. God is the one who opens the door for the job. God is the one who helps us get the car going. Can I tell you one story? You can't go anywhere anyway, can you? We had a car the other day that just died. I mean, it just died dead. And I was like, I hate this car. And I'm ready to get rid of it. The one mechanic said it's going to cost $8,000 for a new transmission. I said, well, do you buy dead cars? I'll be happy to sell it to you. He said, no, we don't buy them. I get a trailer and I bring it home. I don't know why I brought it home, but I brought it home. I unloaded it off the trailer. This happened like 2 months ago. I unloaded it off the trailer and I told Jody, I said, I'm just going to take it out on the highway and I'm just going to see if I can blow this transmission up. I really was saying, I'm just going to see if it works. I took it for a spin, a hard spin for a few minutes, and I came back and it's working. I was like, I don't even know what's going on. So we decided, well, we're going to keep the car. Well, a few weeks go by, and then something else happens, and we end up putting home at 20 miles an hour. True story. This happened 2 weeks ago, a week ago, whatever it was. And we're on the side of the road kind of just laughing like we brought this on ourselves. I mean, it's a hybrid car, and we're like, these batteries are tired, you know. And we get it home, and so I'm calling the junkyard to come and buy the car. Like, if you'll just come get it. I promise you, he said to me, I'll give you $150. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Come on, man, it's a car. I mean, and he said, well, that's all it's worth to me. And I was like, all right. Well, Jody, in her faith, she said, well, I think we ought to try it again. And I was like, the car has already been resurrected once. This is asking a lot. I mean, I promise you, we went out and got in that car and drove it 40 miles that afternoon, pulled it back in, and it was working better than when I picked it up from the mechanic the first time. So listen. Now, I don't know how long the car is going to last, all right? But if you see us on the side of the road, stop. I'm just saying, stop. All right. I'm driving the car. I told Jody, I said, I don't know what God's got here. I don't know if it's a mean joke he's playing on us or if he's like going to just keep resurrecting this car, but I'm driving it till I'm on the side of the road again. Now listen, I'd rather be driving a brand new Chevy Silverado pickup that's $95,000. That's what I'd rather be driving. But now's not the time. Now's not the time. All right, maybe one day. Now's not the time. I'm going to drive that old car. Now listen, we can afford another car. That's not the problem. Self-discipline is the thing. Okay, we're going to focus on this right now because we want to put some money over here. We want to do this God's way, some self-discipline involved in this. And we're having a fun trip too. We never know what's going to happen when we leave the house. All right? So I don't know where you are. I don't know why I'm even telling you that crazy story. Maybe you're at that same place where you're like, I don't even know. I don't know. I'm embarrassed to drive that car. Forget about your pride. Let it go. Who cares what somebody thinks about you? Just pretend you are loaded and you're choosing to drive that old car. All right? And let's let God have his way. And I believe he's going to help us. I believe he's going to help us. Stand up with me, everybody. I want you to do this with me. I just want you to hold your hands out like this. We're going to pray two prayers. One is a prayer of just whatever I have, Lord, I surrender it to you. Here it is, Lord. It's all yours. The last part of that prayer is, God, I want you to fill my hands with what you want me to have in the moment. I want to surrender all I have to you, and I want to open my hands to the good things you have for me in the future, if it's now or if it's later. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. You've been so good to us. You have blessed us and you have helped us, and we thank you for that. And we want to surrender all that we have today to you, God, whether it's a car, a house, a paycheck, Lord, the debt that we've incurred, we want to surrender it to you. We just want to surrender it, Lord. We know you can do more with it than we could. And then, Lord, we're asking you to bless us now and into the future, Lord. And we just want to be ready to receive all that you have and be good stewards of what you give us along the way. And we just thank you, Lord, so much. We thank you for every good thing. And we know your hand has been on us. And we trust you for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him some praise, everybody. Amen. Amen.